Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Good morning, and welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Albert Morales, your host and managing partner of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. The new administration brings with it a set of priorities and goals. To successfully meet these goals, the next president will require a competent and effective federal workforce. The U.S. Office of Personnel Management has as its vital mission to ensure the federal government has an effective civilian workforce for federal employees, agency partners, and most importantly, for the American people for whom it serves. With us this morning to discuss OPM's leadership in this area is our very special guest, Michael Hager, Acting Director of the U.S. Office of Personnel Management. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. How are you, Albert?
Great, thank you. And also joining us in our conversation is Solly Thomas, Associate Partner in IBM's Human Capital Practice. Good to see you again, Solly.
Good to see you too, Al.
Mike, let's start off by taking a moment to provide our listeners with an overview of the U.S. Office of Personnel Management, or OPM. Can you tell us a bit about OPM's history, its current mission, and some of the major programs it manages?
Well, Albert, I'd like to first of all say thank you for having me on this program, and Solly. It's an incredible opportunity for me to be able to share some of the issues and programs that the Office of Personnel Management is currently involved in, and I'd love to share with you some of the history. It all began back in 1979. The history behind it goes back to the Pendleton Act, named for reform-minded Senator George H. Pendleton, which established the Civil Service Commission. Now, the commission implemented reforms which basically did away with the spoils system and brought merit into the hiring process of the federal government. The commission was renamed the Office of Personnel Management back in 1979. And OPM still carries the commission's work, but is also responsible for the federal background investigations. We process about 90% of those, and the Federal Employees Health Benefits Program.
So can you give us a sense of the scale of the organization, perhaps a little bit about how OPM is organized, the size of the budget, number of employees, and its geographic footprint?
Albert, OPM, and I'll refer to it as OPM as opposed to repeating Office of Personnel Management. OPM employs almost 6,000 federal employees, and they're spread out across the United States, doing everything from advising on federal personnel issues, working on health claims, retirement, processing of senior exec hires, whatever. It has a full spectrum of responsibilities. Employ an ongoing door-to-door background investigations, as I indicated, a very key part of what we do, and a very large operation, I might add, again, completing about 90% of all of the background investigations for the federal government. It's also organized into program offices that deal with human resource policy, human capital leadership, management services, and federal investigations, just to name a few of the things we're involved in. The operating budget for OPM was $244 million in 2008, and OPM was appropriated approximately $42 billion for the payment of federal annuitants and insurance and retirement benefits. So it's a substantial budget. It's one that we manage very carefully. We obviously are looking after the benefits for the federal workers, but at the same time, maintaining optimum performance for the taxpayer.
Mike, now that you've provided us with a sense of the larger organization, OPM, perhaps you could tell us more about your role as acting director of OPM, maybe sharing with our listeners some of your major responsibilities and duties.
I'm responsible for making sure that OPM continues to run smoothly and efficiently. And in particular, this becomes a major objective in a transition year. I oversee human capital programs and provide guidance and direction to the senior leadership of OPM. Fortunately, I've inherited a very confident staff, one that knows the workings of the federal personnel policy. Again, I'm very, very blessed with the fact that I have so many really, really good leaders within OPM to deal with.
And Mike, in your position as the agency head, what have been the top challenges that you face in this position, and how have you tried to address these challenges?
To begin with, the retirement modernization, perhaps the single largest challenge coming into the department, performance metrics, measuring outcomes, setting targets, setting strategy, and then measuring the actual accomplishment to that strategy. Customer servicing. OPM is a gigantic customer service department, and trying to get our focus on delivering customer expectations, measuring those expectations, making adjustments to make sure that we constantly look at enhancing customer service. Succession planning becomes very critical, of course, over the next few weeks with a new transition. And then congressional interests. We constantly want to focus on Congress as a major customer of OPM and making sure that we're providing service and delivery of service to their best interests as well.
You clearly have a tremendous amount of enthusiasm and passion for your work. I'm curious, how did you get started with your career, and what brought you to government?
I came to the government because I wanted to work for the government. I was moved by the young talent that had served the military, and Pat Tillman, who served the military and gave the ultimate sacrifice for the freedom that we all enjoy. And because of that, I determined that I wanted to make a contribution to the government for a few years, and I worked very hard to get some consideration to join the federal government, and began back in July of 2005 with the Small Business Administration. Actually, was not in HR, but was responsible for their loan portfolio. Stayed with the SBA, which I thoroughly enjoyed for a couple of years, and then was asked to become an assistant secretary for Veterans Affairs back in November 2007. A mission was just incredible, the impact that you could have on the veteran coming out of war, et cetera. It was an incredible mission, incredible leadership, and thoroughly enjoyed that assignment. And then finally asked by President Bush to join OPM as the acting director in August of 2008, which I gladly accepted that challenge, and here I am.
So, Mike, as you think about your current role as OPM director and you reflect back on your prior role as the Chief Human Capital Officer at VA, can you give us your perspective on perhaps the differences between these two leadership positions? And how have your previous experiences prepared you for your current position and perhaps shaped your management approach and style?
Well, Albert, there are major distinctions between the two roles. At the VA, it was very hands-on from an operating perspective. The hiring process, I came into the job knowing that the biggest challenge that faced me from the senior leadership was to get this hiring process fixed, to streamline it, to make it user-friendly, to be responsive to the customer demands, expectations. Customer service, an orientation to do everything we can possibly do to constantly raise the bar of serving our customer, measuring the outcome. Performance metrics. If we have a strategy, let's reduce the strategy to a metric. Let's measure it. What kind of outcome do we expect from it? Areas in workers' compensation, safety, et cetera. Again, very hands-on, a lot of heavy interface with the senior leadership on meeting and, again, talking to them about their HR requirements, demands, and, again, trying to create programs that would satisfy their needs. OPM, it's different. It's more policy-driven. We're dealing far more in strategy. At the same time, there are a lot of operations because we have one of the largest retirement systems in the entire globe, healthcare, lots of operations that are also in OPM. But again, we'll come back to the longer-term strategy kinds of issues. Corporate involvement, if you will, call it corporate involvement. The security clearance process, the Chief Human Capital Officer Group, that we had, the Chico Group as we refer to it, which is really, it's like a CEO group of human capital activity throughout the federal government. It's a very, very significant group of leaders heading up HR throughout the federal government. The Transition Council that I participate in and the whole transition initiative that's underway, that I think history will record it as the most effective, the most exhaustive as far as preparation exercise ever known in federal government. Congressional interests in OPM, very strong, where we constantly have to keep and should keep Congress apprised as to the kinds of programs we have underway, and more importantly, what are the outcomes of these planned programs? And of course, budget at OPM becomes a major issue because it's a very substantial budget. We're trying to leverage every dollar that we have in our budget to maximize the effectiveness of programs, protect the taxpayer to the extent possible, but at the same time trying to develop as many programs overall for the federal government as we possibly can.
That's great. What are some of the major initiatives at OPM? We will ask Michael Hager, Acting Director of the U.S. Office of Personnel Management, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.